Day in the desert this morning, in the garden with Rosie on the house. Thank you, Mr. Reich, for bringing in that kind of a swinging tune.
Well, I think it has something to do with the heat he was trying to tie
it in. Absolutely. If you've got a project you'd like to tackle out in your garden, your lawn, your hardscape, your irrigation system, your outdoor lighting, John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery is here to take your call at 1-888-767-4348. Lots of people in the first part of the show wanted to talk about lawns. And as you say right now, if you've got a Bermuda lawn, it ought to look as good as it ever looks right now. And if you're watering it to some, even close to the right amount, and it's not green, you're dealing with another problem.
You have another problem, or you're really not. A lot of people think they're watering a lot because they water frequently. I'm watering every day. I'm watering twice a day every day. But they're watering for 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 10, you know, I mean, go out there and physically measure the amount of water, especially in the spots or the places that don't look as good. I will bet you that you've got a sprinkler head that's got a big gap in it or a big miss in it, or over the years, you know this as well, in the house, you know, your main line doesn't deliver as much water. Things just don't put on as much water as they used to in 10 minutes. You know, it's been affected by flow, by the, you know, whatever. So physically measure the amount of water that you're putting on the lawn.
Take a tuna fish can.
Yeah.
Set it out there in the lawn and just let your clock irrigate the lawn.
Right. And better yet, take three or four of them and put them in various places. You will find that they're probably not all the same. I'd be shocked if they were.
And what are you trying to see? In the course of a week, what should a nice lawn be getting?
A nice lawn probably 3 inches, maybe 3.5 or 4 inches of water over the course of a week. Minimally, to have an acceptable lawn, probably 2 inches. Mm. So
that's a lot of water.
It's more water than people think. And a lot of times in, you know, we're probably talking an hour plus of water over a week. Mm-hmm. If I was to just pick a number, most systems in the course of about an hour over the course of a week might put a couple 3 inches of water on it. You know, don't hold me to that. It varies. But so think about that. If you're watering 5 minutes a day every day, that's half as much as you need.
Yeah.
And it's very deceitful to the eye. You mentioned before, put on your swim trunks and go walk it, because it looks like that everything's getting water. But when you're physically out there.
And a lot of people measure it too by, well, the water's starting to run down the sidewalk or run down. Well, I got a front lawn that in about 5 minutes, it starts running off and going, you know, so that's not nearly enough water, so I have to water for about 5 minutes and then run it again. And about, you know, I've run several times a day, you know, or I'd be running all kinds of water down the street if I let it run as long as it needed to run. So you can't judge by how much water's running down the sidewalk either.
Boy, it makes a ton of difference if you'll just fertilize that lawn right now every 30 days.
Man.
I mean, that nothing. Well, that's not true. The one thing that probably made a bigger difference in my lawn after me just ignoring it and letting the kids grow up on it and play on it, 20 years, all I did was water it, mow it, water it, mow it. Mm-hmm. And as the kids left, I decided I want a nice lawn. And core aerating it, I couldn't believe what that did to the water requirements. Cut the water requirements down in about half and stayed just as green. So core aerating it the beginning of every summer, and then 30-day fertilizer. Those two things have made I've got a pretty nice lawn.
In a healthy lawn that's been fertilized will actually use less water or need less water than a lawn that's struggling to grow. So all of that helps. Yeah, if that's the other thing. You got to have enough water, but a good lawn needs, you know, about a unit of nitrogen or a pound of nitrogen for every 1,000 square feet about every 30 days during the growing season. Just no getting around it.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Switching topics here now, bringing Marie into the conversation. How may we help you?
Well, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a citrus tree that is growing a lot of gluey stuff. Looks like a glue out of the trunks.
Okay.
The tree trunk.
Right down on the main trunk, you're getting some sap, some gooey coming out. Does the tree look pretty healthy other than that?
Yes, it does.
Okay. You know what? We could have the start of a disease called gamosis, or you may just have an old sunburn spot that's maybe leaking some sap out. What we generally recommend you do is go in and kind of clean that up. Maybe take a not too stiff a wire brush, but if you've got to scrape it off or brush it off, get that sap off, and then get a product called Bordeaux. It's a general fungicide. You want to prevent any secondary diseases from getting in there, like sooty canker. That's usually the big thing that we're afraid of with citrus when we start getting openings, cracks, sunburnings, things like that. So get some Bordeaux and treat those affected areas with Bordeaux. And then if you want, you could actually put tree paint over the top of that. And you'll have to do that a few times, perhaps to stop it. And if the tree looks pretty healthy, you're probably okay. We start seeing that occur in older trees that are going downhill, and sometimes all you're doing is kind of prolonging the inevitable. But if the tree looks good, is healthy, make sure you're fertilizing the tree regularly and giving it enough water as well.
We appreciate the call. Hope you get that nurse back. Citrus and lawns have been quite popular today. Is this just the time of year that they need the most attention?
Well, certainly lawns with, you know, hot weather. That's when, you know, weaknesses are going to show up. We seem to be seeing, and this has been going on for a few years with Bermuda grass lawns, people that plant ryegrass, that transition from the ryegrass dying to the Bermuda grass finally looking good again is always a problem. I don't know that it's any worse, but, you know, so those are always issues about when the monsoon kicks in, that final little gasp of ryegrass finally dies and people go, oh, my lawn's dying. Well, no, the ryegrass died, and you let it take too long, and now the Bermuda grass that was there in a few of those spots is dead. So we'll see that this time of year as well, too. So that's probably some of the issues.
You obviously don't get the green. You know, the citrus are very green. Tree lawns are very green. We haven't got a single person with a problem with a desertscape this morning.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the right place. Now, citrus are very well adapted to here, but I don't care how good a job you do on citrus. When you have some 110, 12, 14, 16 degree days, you are going to get a few sunburned leaves on citrus trees. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Just don't, like I said earlier, don't be a leaf counter. Don't go out there and go, well, there's 10% of the trees got some. Yeah, it sure does. But look at the rest of it. It's pushing new growth. It's coming back already. Don't be too concerned.
This lawn issue, you were talking about the transition between the winter and the Bermuda. I've been to a lot of people's homes in the last 30 days where in that transition, because it wasn't timed correctly, the yard's literally been overtaken by spurge.
Yes. Spurge is very opportunistic.
Golly. I mean, it's a lawn of spurge.
Yeah. Yeah. It really will take over in those bare spots. So you got to be really careful. And, of course, that's a good case for pre-emergent applications in the spring before that transition starts taking place so that when it does, that spurge can't get established.
Yeah, and now that it's established, what would those people do?
Well, you have to either pull it or spray it with, you know, a post-emergent herbicide. There are post-emergent herbicides on the market that will kill the spurge and not kill your Bermuda grass lawn. Now, there's some temperature restrictions on some of those, so you got to be careful what time of day you do it.
Not over like 90 degrees or 95 degrees or something like that.
Yeah, usually 85 or 90, so there may even be a few days like the last couple days. There isn't a time of day.
No window there.
So be careful with that. Get it killed, get rid of it, and then at the same time, go ahead and do the pre-emergent or it's going to come right back because there's going to be seed left there no matter what you do.
Millions. Yeah, pre-emergent seems to be the key on spurge at my house.
Absolutely.
So. Now, as warm as it is, it's surprisingly, you look at the calendar. I was doing this yesterday. We're pretty close to fall vegetable planting.
Yes, we are. In fact, in July, we can start a few things like pumpkins and beans and some corn. As we get into August and you start talking about, you know, cucumbers again, winter squash again, you know, we're talking from seed, not starts, but the list starts getting a little longer again. So a great time to, again, we talked about evaluating landscapes. Go out and evaluate. There's probably stuff in your garden that's pooped out. I mean, you know, it's just done.
What wouldn't be right now?
Well,
our watermelon and okra are
sweet potatoes, okay. Okra, watermelon, eggplant, Those are all real heat tolerant. Okay. There's a few oddball things, kind of Malabar spinach and some stuff. And you know, if you always have the people that have some shade or put shade structure over things that can keep things hanging on. But if you got the typical garden and it's out in full sun, your tomatoes are surely got to be burnt up or close to it. Mm-hmm. Pepper's probably about the same. You know, as it starts to get warm, things like squash will even kind of quit producing. So it's time to go, okay, eventually I got to take this out anyway if I want a fall garden, if you've only got so much space. Now's a great time to start pulling and start prepping that soil, get some compost reworked, get the gypsum in there. Start doing it a little at a time so it's not such a daunting task come September 1 when you want to get out there Labor Day and get it going.
I haven't had the time to do it the last couple summers, but about 3 summers ago, I got in there and I just cleaned it all out and I just laid clear plastic down on the soil and kind of baked all the
solarized it,
just kind of killed all the seeds that were there that I was going to have to weed out later. So
that's not a bad practice,
and it worked so well. I thought, Rosie, you just need to do this every year, and that was about 3 years ago.
I think we can just about all relate to that.
But that was an excellent technique. It worked really well for us.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.